Two,
No.
three, one.
Bam.
Who's the best show here?
Back show.
Who's the best show here?
Back show.
All right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
I am short.
Big O Showtime.
I flashed a 70-year-old woman.
I just have to tell them I'm not a thief, just a pervert.
When you were making egg poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. But the stone is going to break the DLFTS.org. And I see channels of Linux.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, put the gas is about to begin.
Welcome to episode 965 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Still summer.
We have Joel.
Hello.
And we have Joe.
Hey.
And hey, this was pretty cool. I'll get this out right at the top of the show. I thought this was really, really interesting. Awesome, actually. Yesterday, I was on my bike ride, and you should know, I live in Fort Monroe, and right out into the mouth of the Chesapeake Bay, and Joel's been down here, so he knows where the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel is. You could almost see it from my house, if there wasn't houses blocking it, but the channel is right there. Between the Norfolk side and Hampton side. So when I went out from my bike ride yesterday, I was heading up towards the south end of the fort, which is right there along the seawall where the channel is. There was an aircraft carrier going out, number 5. I don't know what the name of the carrier is, but it was going out. It actually went out on Monday, too, around that morning. So I guess they're doing some training activities and stuff. But the aircraft carrier was going out. And that's always cool to see, the aircraft carrier. So it's like, you know, maybe a quarter, not even a quarter mile offshore that you could actually see it. It goes right by. And so as I was going down heading down the seawall to turn to go to the north part of the island, I rounded the corner at Outlook Beach, and what do I see coming in was a submarine. And so I managed, I was like, I got to take a picture of this, and check this out. I managed to, turn around and come back and watch as the submarine and the aircraft carrier, crossed right next to each other, went right past each other. And it was really cool. It's like, it's rare to see a sub, not so rare to see an aircraft carrier, but to see the two of them, like one going out and one coming in at the same time. That sub was pretty big. It was about two-thirds the size of the aircraft carrier lengthwise, when you look at them right side by side. But it was pretty cool. You don't see that. That's a very, very rare occurrence to see that. And then I suspect I saw the hovercraft too about an hour later when I was down at the beach, because there was a water vehicle that was way out. That was kicking up so much, whatever. What do they call that? When the motors are kicking up the water out the back.
Wake.
Yeah, this is kicking up a huge wake, and I've seen that before with the hovercrafts that they sometimes pull out. So that was interesting. Plus, there's been a lot of aircraft activity too. So a lot of training going on around here again these days. A lot of excitement, but that was pretty awesome. Anyway,
and here I'm Googling trying to figure out what ship and all that is, and then I come to one of your TV stations and it says the Military Circle Mall is officially set to close at the end of this year.
I wouldn't doubt it. That mall is
shit, huh?
Well,
Looks like it was nice, but...
I think it fell on hard times, almost a decade ago it really wasn't doing so well. People don't really go to malls anymore, so I wouldn't be surprised if they knock that sucker down and make it like a lifestyle center or whatever they call them now, which is essentially a fancy strip mall, I guess, or whatever.
Right.
That it's just all outdoor instead of an indoor thing or whatever. I don't know. Maybe they'll do something else with it. There really wasn't much in there. There was a movie theater in there, and I saw a couple of films in that. Like, I had the friends from work, when I worked down in Norfolk, sometimes we would go to the Military Circle Mall movie theater after work. I saw, like, the remake of Friday the 13th there and the remake of My Bloody Valentine there. And, yeah, so if it wasn't playing at the... there's another mall in Norfolk, and now I can't remember. That has a movie theater in it, too. If it wasn't playing there, I'd just go to Military Circle.
About your bike.
Yeah.
My bike? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Did you get those tube liners?
You know what? I did. I did get the tube liners. Unfortunately, I got the tube liners, like, about a month after I got the new tubes. So, I didn't want to wait a month. And I just put some more Gorilla Tape on around the interior of the one tire that was having a problem. And I haven't had a problem with that tire since. Now, the front tire has a slow leak in the tube somewhere. And that tube's been in there since I bought it, since I have it. So I bought the bike, so it's... I don't think it's the same issue as the other one, but I'm gonna replace that soon, and I plan to put that the stuff I have the liner on that definitely.
Oh, I just got my second rear tire blowout in like the last and a half 2 months, and it's I don't think it's because of my tube liner. I think it's because of my tire itself is just so freaking worn on the outer edge.
Okay.
The steel ribbing is kind of poking inward and outward.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, it's really coming apart.
Interesting.
So I'm having to order new tires and new inner tubes. And, yeah, it kind of sucks. And... thinking about adding tube liners to the list, but I have some odd size tires, which is part of the reason why some of my rear tires don't last as long, because I got 26 by 1 3/8, while my actual tire size is 26 by 1 1/4. Which is even more rare.
Yeah.
Or at least odd compared to everything else.
Yeah, unless you're spending $300 or $400 on a bike, you're not going to get, even then you may not get standard sizes on anything. Jeez.
So wait, you're using tubes or a tire that's smaller than your... you're
larger, right? Slightly larger. I have 1.25 and or 1 1/4 inch wide, and I'm using 1 3/8 inch wide because those were easier and cheaper to get.
Interesting.
So I am gonna order the 1 1/4 now and use the proper size on it, but I'm also going to have to order an actual like tire, because mine the sidewalls are just peeling. It is ready just to fall apart.
How much is that? How much does a tire run?
The ones I found, 26 by 1.25 steel bead black with mocha sidewall, and there's not a lot of choices for the 26 by 1.25 on Amazon, are $27.99 each. So two of them comes out to almost $60.
Cool. Well, I mean,
well, hold on.
Go ahead. Finish your bike talk.
Now, did you say, well, you're going to have to replace both tires or just the back?
Well, if I'm going to replace the back because it's aged and the front one is the exact same age.
Right.
Then I might as well do both.
Okay.
And the front one also has the 26 by 1 3/8 instead of the 1 1/4.
Is your back gear, like your gear shifter, a pain in the ass to calibrate when you take it off?
No. My rear gear shifter mostly falls right into place. It sometimes has a little bit of trouble with that last, like, really loose gear.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a big difference between that gear and the next gear down. But mostly that's dialed in. My front one, I'm going to have to take some time and some oil and calibrate that for the lower gear. But other than that, it works pretty well. I think I'm going to also have to replace the pads for the rear brake. It's just, this was a really low-cost bike to begin with, and if I'm going to dump money into it, I want to make sure it's actually the bike that I want to keep.
Yeah, every time I take my rear tire off, I have to spend time tweaking the settings of the back gear shifter. It's such a pain in the ass.
I haven't had that issue, I've taken the back tire off a couple of times to replace the inner tube, and it goes right back on, and I guess how I put it on, it always ends up in mostly the same spot. So,
yeah, I have the exact problem with any bike I've had in the last 15 years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have it. And then now you guys mention it, and this next time when I go to put my tire on, it's not going to work, and it's going to be all you guys' fault.
Yeah. Like, I always end up with that, it doesn't shift properly. Like, I can hit all the gears, but I'll switch it to, like, go down to the first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear, sixth gear, and then I'll hit seven. And then I'll go backwards, and it's like, I'll go from seven to six, and it won't do anything. And then when I go from six to five, it'll go into six, and then like that. Like, it's just off by such a hair that it just doesn't, it's not... It doesn't trigger on all the switches, you know what I mean? And try as I might, I just can't get it to be like perfect. I like the way it felt like when I first got it. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Go ahead, Joel.
Cool.
Unless you have more on your bike, Joe.
No, when Joel starts talking about his house, I'll come up with some more.
Okay.
I'm not talking about my house. I actually bought
which is why I'm holding off.
No. Well, you actually bought a what?
A new printer this week.
Oh!
Inkjet printer? Laser. Did you get the... Which one did you get?
Well, I cheaped out. I got, like, it was about $100. I got an HP 4100 series. And I'd like to say it was hard to get working with Linux, but it wasn't. It just automatically appeared.
Yeah, so with HP printers, there's almost never going to be a problem.
Right. No, it's a DeskJet. And I actually signed up for, they have the ink program they have with them. Like a free trial for 6 months. I forget what they call it.
Is this an all-in-one?
It is. The only thing I don't like about it is it like my the one we have downstairs does double-sided automatically. You know, it just does it. This one will do it, but you have to do the paper dance. And it's like, yeah, I'll just print on one side. Thank you very much. But it does, everything just worked on it right out of the box. And the main reason is I had another printer. I had a DeskJet D110, and apparently it's just too old to connect to modern Wi-Fi networks. So yeah, I could not get it to connect to either the 2 gig network, and definitely not the 5.
That's what Raspberry Pi's for.
Yeah, well...
That's what a Pi Zero is for.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, I still have it. I haven't thrown it away yet. But this is cheap enough. And the ink itself is... Well, the thing I've always liked about HP inkjets is that every time... I mean, other than the ink costing stupid money, every time you replace the ink cartridge, you have a new print head. So you don't have to deal with cleaning the print head or any of that garbage. But... scanning seems to work too, and all works over a 5 gig network too. So you know, it just everything just worked right out of the box. And Linux, I actually had to click the add printer button on the Windows machines, but to print from my Linux box, this is the first time I booted this machine up all week, and then was already there.
What desktop environment are you using?
I'm using Pop OS, which is based on Ubuntu.
So that's GNOME, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So you went into the set, the settings, the hardware, whatever it was.
It was already there,
and the printer was listed. Yeah, because when I did mine, I went through the CUPS interface through a web browser, and it picks it up. Like it was not a problem,
right?
For it discovering the printer.
I mean, the other options were, like, they had some Epson printers, but I've just keep, like, a friend of mine, he bought an Epson printer, and for some reason, instead of red, when you'd print the reds, it would print orange. I don't know what's going on with that, but that's just one thing. The other thing that have always been problematic with Epsons has been them clogging.
Oh, yeah, the print head, just like you said, the print head is not on the... The ink cartridges are separate from the printhead, correct?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, cleaning those things out like way back in the day, and it was just throw the fucking thing in the garbage.
Yep. That's why I tell, like, if somebody tells me, if you can find a LaserJet, that's probably the better option. It's going to be cheaper in the long run. The cartridge will last a lot longer.
It does.
But you know, if you don't want to spend that amount of money. You know, then for a new one. Now, you might be able to find a used LaserJet. Like, you know, maybe you can find one of them old HP LaserJet 3s.
All right. I do want to mention something. We have a listener that sent me an email.
Ooh.
Joshua Mason.
Yep.
And it should be here today. I'm going to have to go check my mailbox. Because he is sending me a Zega MAME Boy that he had ordered and was planning on working on, but it just got frustrated with it. He's also sending me a Raspberry Pi Zero. So he's asking me to finish it, and he definitely wants me to talk about it on the show. So, yeah.
Very good. And
it looks like it's going to be a really fun build to do. So
cool.
I am looking forward to receiving it, and I am looking forward to working on it, and I just wanted to make sure I got on here and said thank you to Joshua. Thank you, Joshua.
Very good. More hardware news before I get into my open media vault adventure.
Oh, wait,
I got
some
hardware stuff, too.
Before you get into that, hold on a second, because, like, the LaserJet printer that I bought that's been going strong for over a year
there
now.
There you go.
This is $150 when I bought it. What did you what did you use to set it up initially
to the network?
Yeah.
I think I just used the app on my phone.
Okay.
To set the network up, the HP's whatever the HP app is called.
I know what you're talking about.
It basically just had you HP Smart is what it is. It just had you scan the QR code, and then you plugged it in the app. You plugged in the Wi-Fi information, and that was it. I mean, it couldn't be simpler. So that is cool. Wants me to log into the HP account again. That's okay. I don't need to log in for the moment. I just wanted to look at the app. But with Linux, I've never had a complaint with HP printers at all. They've just always worked.
Yeah, they always usually work. I have my old LaserJet 1100, which is a parallel port printer.
Okay.
And I wound up getting a USB converter, and it works fine. No issues.
There you go. I wish there is one printer, an older printer, that I actually had one of back, late 90s, if you actually look, I think I might be in CUPS documentation because I was doing some testing with it on Linux, but an Alps MD, mine was the 1300, but if I were to look for a new one, I would try to find a 5000, and one of the reasons I bought it when I did buy that, because I basically bought it with the computer. It was the next to last desktop I ever bought. I bought it at Micro Center, and the feature that I really liked about it was what they call micro dry technology. So instead of a tank of ink, it had like a ribbon that was impregnated with ink.
Oh, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and the really cool thing about it was you can get metallic inks. You could get white ink. And then the kind of neat thing with the white ink is that like if you bought like decals like for modeling, you can literally make your own decals by just printing them on the printer using the right inks you want.
Wait, this was the Alps printer, right?
Right, the Alps MD. Mine was mine was the lower model of the 1300, but if I were to find one that was in like new shape, I would look at the 5000. The only downside about that is the ink is getting expensive because they don't make it no more. So it's basically new old stock. So, and they're all parallel port printers too, so I'd probably have a better job making it work in Linux than I would in Windows nowadays, because I'm sure there's no Windows driver for it at this point. But I really liked it, and that's the only old printer I would like to have. And the ink was also a little bit cheaper too, but the fancy inks were just better. Like I remember making cards with it. I would sometimes use the metallic ink on the card and really made it look nice. But it was a little the only thing you had to do is like when you wanted to use those special inks, you basically just wanted to make your image black and white, and then it would print in that, or your text, and whatever you wanted to be that color, you would just print that you print that part of it as a black and white image, and then you would print the next section. Like if you were doing CMYK for the rest of it, then you would print again on the same piece of paper, so, and it would really kind of look sharp. But nobody's kept up with that one, so printers are kind of boring. To be honest, they just work in Linux now, not like it was back in the day. But
I couldn't tell you how hard it would have been to get any of my printers working in Windows, because I've never done it. And there we go. Well, I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like the HP smart software that they always want you to download and install right on the system. No, thank you.
Yeah, you have to do that on Windows boxes. On Linux, it's just driverless. Use HP, whatever. HP, like, I can't remember what it is. But
whatever CUPS recommends.
Right. Works every time. But
Oh, go ahead.
As I say, Pine 64 is now selling the Pinebook Pro again, which is pretty darn cool.
Is that the
not the one Rich sent us?
Well, yeah, they also got that new Pine Sill. Did we talk about that last time?
don't
the only major difference is that the new Pinesill has like a Bluetooth mode, so you can send statistics to your computer.
Wait, what's the Pinesill?
It's Pinesill. It's my brain just blanked. It's a soldering iron.
Oh.
A $25 soldering iron that works off of USB-C. And it's completely awesome.
You have one, right?
Yeah. It's basically the only soldering iron I use anymore.
Is it sold by Pine64.org?
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
I'm looking on their website. I'm trying to find it.
It's there.
It's there. It's under devices, soldering iron. That has a RISC-V chip in it. And it just makes me laugh.
I don't like their website. Their website's a pain in the ass to navigate. Oh, here we go. Okay.
Why would a soldering iron need a microprocessor? That's the only thing I'm trying to figure out. Well.
Why is their website coming through like a mobile website?
I don't know.
That's interesting. It looks fine on me at my end. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I have to go up to the menu at the upper right-hand corner to...
I dropped the link.
To go to the devices, and I click on soldering irons. And I got the pine cube. There's no... Why is it picking up my browser? It's like, it looks like it's a mobile. I'll just go open the link that you sent, but the Pine Book is back.
Yep. And it's now $219.99 instead of the old price was $299.99. It has 64-bit dual-core ARM processor that runs at 1.86 gigahertz with a Cortex-A72 core. Quad-core ARM... whole bunch of stuff listed. Mali graphics, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 64 gig eMMC, 802.11ac plus Bluetooth 5, one USB 3. It's got some Type C ports on it too. I believe they're if you look at the picture of it, looks like they have Manjaro ARM running on it. But it's a 14-inch laptop. I'm not so sure I'd want to buy one of these necessarily. If I had extra cash, I would. But right now, I don't really have that.
Are they in stock?
They are. Scheduled to ship this week.
Oh, yeah. There we go. The UK one is out of stock.
Yeah, you can still add them to the cart, so I assume they're in stock.
The Pinesill is not in stock.
Nope. It's also a limited run, if you read the red text there.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because it's the new one. The current batch is Pinesill version 2, pilot production, which production quantity smaller than normal production. And limits to one unit per order. The next production batch happens next month. We'll resume back maximum 3 units per order.
So is that your go-to soldering iron now?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, the kind of cool thing about that is since it can be powered off of USB-Cs, you can take a battery bank. So you need to solder something in the car.
Any battery bank. You need a QC battery bank that'll do 20 volts.
And I have that.
I do too. But I don't want people to get the impression that you can just pull out a USB-C battery bank and get to work. No, it's got to be one that'll do 20 volts.
Just connect it right up to your laptop and do it that way, right?
You probably could, actually.
Well, no, because none of those are going to have QC3 output.
Right.
Depends.
You're going to burn out your USB port doing that.
That's probably true, but yeah. I think my Tech Smarter does have that. Now, that one will do up to 30 watts.
With some of your laptops, you could just, you know, because this has a dual power input, you could, like, pull the barrel connector and hook that up to the soldering iron, and that would work.
There you go.
But. So what do you plug yours into? Do you plug it into the, you know, just like into the outlet? Wall outlet, or do you?
Ordered this from Pinesol, I knew that the shipping was going to be kind of heavy. So at the same time, I ordered one of their what are they called? Their USB power stations. I'm trying to see if I can find it on here. Yeah, Pine Power 120 watt desktop power supply.
Okay.
And that has a that thing will has the 20 volt output, so it'll even charge like my XPS 13 or my Dell tablet. So it works great for all of those, and it works great for powering the Pinesol. And I also have a one of the RAV Power. QC3 20 volt output, super fast charging battery packs, which works really good with it. Yeah, RAV Power, PD Power, 30,000 mAh.
I'm disappointed port. They're no longer on Amazon.
Yep. That does suck.
Out of stock on that, too.
No. RAV Power pulled all their products
all
from Amazon. So yep. You have to purchase directly from RAV Power. You cannot do it on Amazon.
No, you're not talking about the Pine Power. You're talking a different
one.
Right.
Because I was looking at the Pine Power, which is, say, on the Pine 64 website. This is out of stock also.
The U.S. version?
Yes.
Did you check the U.K., the EU, and the AU version? Buy an adapter.
No, I did not.
They do have the PinePhone and PinePhone Pro keyboard listed now. And
there you go.
Oh, it is available to add to cart.
Oh, there you go.
Trying to see if my I bought a Tech Smarter battery bank off of Amazon that does the 30 watt power delivery. I'm trying to see what the voltage is. It doesn't tell me. I know it charges my phone just fine, and also the my iPad works great. 15 volts, so it's a little under. For a little bit more, there's a base US power bank. Oh, you need to get the 65 watt power banks is what you what it's looking like.
No, I tend to get the 90 watt ones.
Or that. And that's not watt hours, that's the amount of power it can generate.
Yeah.
So because if it was a 90 watt hour power bank, it would be freaking huge.
Yeah.
But
this
that's certainly better than using one of those butane ones.
Yeah, and if you're gonna order the Pinesol from Pine, order the extra tips as well, because like I said, the shipping from Pine is not low, so you might as well add as much as you can to the order. And you will need tips, and they're cheaper at Pine than they are on Amazon.
Are they a specific size too?
Well, yeah, they're the TS100
Type B2. Type B2 soldering.
Well, it's anything that fits in the TS100 will fit in the Pinesol. So
right.
It's basically the same form factor, except I think the TS100 line costs like $80 to $100 instead of the $25.
and GPIO breakout on it as well. Gee, mini Christmas. They want somebody to build this in their robots, what they want to do.
Well, it is programmable.
Right.
I mean, you can control the ramp up, the temperature, the time it sits still before it starts cooling off, so you don't over-oxidize the tip, things like that. Granted, I use it just plain stock.
Yeah, I can't imagine me doing it any other way.
This Sega main boy.
Mm-hmm.
What's the problem they're having with it?
Putting it together. He said it got frustrating putting it together. He evidently made a mistake on the ribbon cable that goes to the screen. But doesn't think he shorted anything or anything like that, so it should still work. He just got frustrated with it and set it aside. He says, when I see it, I'm going to notice that he wasn't good at soldering, but everything should be there. And look, soldering takes practice.
It does.
I ain't going to hate on you for some terrible soldering, because if we go back to some of my early stuff, it's going to be ugly.
So basically, this is the thing that looks a little bit like the Game Gear.
Looks like a Game Boy.
Oh, Game Boy. Oh, the main.
Matter of fact,
I
think it uses a Game Boy casing, like an original Game Boy casing.
Yeah, it looks like
there it is.
And then you just have the Zega main boy audio power board, the Zega main boy main board, and the Zega main boy audio jack. Then I'll have to look at the instructions, and then I'll have to look and see where it's at. Build-wise, and what needs to be fixed, and how to put it all together.
That's, like, one of the things I thought about this week as I was doing my build. I have Open Media Vault on a Pi 3. It does okay, but it also runs Docker on it, which I have MB on it. And earlier this week, I went to go watch Star Trek 3, which I have on my NAS, because that's my favorite movie with Nichelle Nichols in it. And I was going to watch that one, because it has one of my favorite scenes she's ever done in Star Trek. And all the apps had been updated by, you know, their respective app store, be it the Android one or iTunes app store. And none of them would connect to my server anymore. So I went to go update but basically just do general maintenance and do the apt update and apt upgrade on it. And then upgrade Portainer. Those two went well, but then when I went to go update Ambi, apparently whichever source I was using for the Docker container had an issue. And it was the container itself, not anything I was doing. And unfortunately, I didn't find that out until I went and completely rebuilt the Open Media Vault. You know, do a install Raspbian Lite, and then there's a script that you can run that'll install all of Open Media Vault, and then you just install Portainer after that, and then you can put in the Docker stack that will set up everything that MB needs. So I went hunting around, and I finally found the right container to use, and it worked okay. It just magically worked then. Probably the hardest thing when you're setting up the compose paragraph that you're using within the Portainer stack is you have to put map all the external storage you want to use, like all the drives I had attached to it. You had to put a mapping in, or you couldn't see the drive inside the container. All right. So I'd had to do that, and I went and deleted some things. Like it has the ability to run over SSL. I don't care. It's not running outside of my home network anyway. But all that, and I finally got that working. Then one of the first movies I go to test, and I discovered that when I ripped Gremlins off of the Blu-ray, I probably ripped the French audio track instead of the English one. So at lunchtime, I had to re-rip that thing. But other than that, it went pretty swimmingly well, and shows me I'm crap at organizing files on my drives, because I included both folders that I thought I needed to include. Then I remember I only had to include one, so I had a bunch of duplicates at first. But other than that, it's worked fine. MB is really great. Has apps for Roku, for Android, for iOS. I don't know if it has one for Apple TV. And I don't really care, because I don't have one. I'm probably not going to buy one. But if you need something, it's very similar to Plex. They even have a subscription model, so you can get more features if you pay for them. But
except it's open source, right?
Correct.
And Plex is closed source.
Yep. And I also discovered, too, because I had to re-download it, MakeMKV. MakeMKV is also now available on Linux. So if you have a Blu-ray player and want to rip some Blu-rays, you can do that. Which got me thinking, I'd love to rip the 4K Blu-rays that I have. I have a few of them, but my drive doesn't do it. I may end up buying another Blu-ray drive in the near future, so I can. And then I usually use Handbrake to just make a M4V out of it and be done with it. Have my own little Netflix in my house that always has the same movies on it.
Always. Unless you add more.
Correct, unless you add more. I actually added one today. I took I have the 4K Ultra HD set of Independence Day, and it also comes with the regular Blu-ray, the 1080p version of the movie. It has both Independence Day as well as the Resurgence one, which a lot of people didn't like. I liked it, but but there was also a bonus disc for the ID4, and I ripped that video off of that Blu-ray today. So, copied it up there. We'll see what MB thinks to call it. Sometimes it doesn't know and it guesses, because videos really don't have a lot of metadata associated with them. Not like an MP3 where it can just read the ID3 tag, you know. But it does, if it gets wrong, you can actually click a identify button, search for the movie you want, and then fix it.
Speaking of which, I did finally get to watch some movies. So
did you?
I did watch Everything Everywhere All at Once. Really enjoyed it.
I was going to say, would you watch that on?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I also watched Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. It was good, but it wasn't technically our Doctor Strange. You know, the one that we've been watching for
right.
You know, a while now between the Marvel Universe.
I loved the Multiverse of Madness. I dug it like crazy.
Yeah, I'm just saying it wasn't, the Doctor Strange that we're used to. It was one from a different reality.
Wait, why do you say it was one from a different reality?
Because he wasn't the Sorcerer Supreme. Wong was the Sorcerer Supreme. That says a whole different reality.
Well, tonight at midnight, the final episode of season 3 of The Orville comes out. I'll probably watch it right then, too. It's not very frequent that a whole season of a show knocks that out of the park every episode. But Seth did that with The Orville this year. That's my feeling anyway. We talked a little bit about that last week, me and Pat did. Just such good writing and great stories. And
oh, you know what?
Makes me happy.
Hold on. That's right. I was trying to remember. Doctor Strange, Wong took over being Sorcerer Supreme during the blip when Doctor Strange was gone, and he never transferred back that title to Doctor Strange. So it is the Doctor Strange from the MCU. 616.
Okay.
616. Because I was trying to remember where they talked about that, and I think it was in Endgame.
I'll have to watch Endgame again because I don't remember it.
Or not. Oh, man. Was it? I forget where it was in one of the. Because it might have been Homecoming.
Or What If?
I don't think it was What If, because What If was a different Doctor Strange.
Right, but they had a couple of different ones.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Continue on. I really want to see Everything Everywhere All at Once. That looks fantastic.
Really good.
Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Joel.
No. I'm just saying, if you haven't watched The Orville yet, you should. It's good stuff.
And I did, watch Kung Fu Hustle and The Musketeer.
Kung Fu Hustle's old, isn't it?
Yeah, Kung Fu Hustle is like 2004, but I had never watched it before, so. I had watched The Musketeer before, that's from 2001, but I hadn't watched it in a really long time.
I like Kung Fu Hustle, that was a fun movie.
And I think I'm going to run through the Constantine TV series again. The nice thing about, getting my exception to work from home is I get 2 extra hours a day to catch up on TV shows and movies. Time I'm not spending driving.
Oh my God, I just saw an article where Joy Delight's like saying, "Where's the Google August update?" I'm like, it's only August, 3rd? last month, it only came out on the 7th. It's like, giving me a break. Although they're saying that Android 13 will be released with the September update for the Pixel phones. So, kind of looking forward to that. Maybe, I don't know, we'll see what happens. But it usually does get better, but
we talking about a security update or 13?
The 8 August would be a security update. Yeah. September is going to be the Android 13, which I think you get it at the same time because I think you have the 5A, right?
I have the 4A.
Oh, 4A, okay. Ooh.
Don't still getting updates?
Is it still getting updates?
Yeah, I get updates on a regular basis.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah, I don't think it's obsolete yet.
Yeah.
It's only a year old. It's not dead.
I may have to take the white. Well, she hasn't had an upgrade. I've had 2 upgrades since she's had her last upgrade. So I may have to take her in and get a new iOS device for her, because that's what she likes. I can't, you know, as much as I like Android, as much as I think she would should use Android, I can't force her to.
Man, every time I pick up an iPhone, I just, like, it's so frustrating.
For me,
I guess that must be what an iPhone user feels like when they
pick up an Android. Oh, yeah, don't get me started. My wife can't ever figure out how to shut notifications off, like if it's a phone call or something like that comes in. But then I don't know how she can deal with, like, the thing I like best about my Pixel, and I don't know if yours does the same thing, Dan, but it has the Google Assistant screening service where I can just, if somebody calls me and I don't want to talk to them, I send them to there. And if it's important and they can navigate their way through, then it'll finally ring, you know. But, you know, I don't want to ever talk to anybody's number I don't recognize anymore, because it's 9 times out of 10 it is a spam call. But.
Yep. Or a job offer.
Yeah.
Sometimes there's not much difference between the spam calls and the job offers.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. Last summer, I had one kind of interesting spam text that I was getting, and it was coming from email accounts, not phone numbers. And basically, it was porn spam. If you tap the link, it would.
That's what you get for downloading all that porn.
No, what was funny, without using
a proper VPN.
Well, there you go. But no, this one wasn't quite like, you know, it was also a group text. So what would happen is they'd send it to like a group of numbers, and those who didn't know any better would immediately text the whole fucking group, stop. So it's like, I'm like, okay. So on those idiots that did that, I blocked them too, because I'm like, I'm done with this. I haven't gotten those. Now I'm getting a different one. Like I've literally, and most of them do go to spam because the Pixels are better at it than my Samsung was. But I'll get I've got a whole bunch of spam messages saying we'd like to offer you a great deal on your house. Most of them are for the old one. Yeah.
No, I get the phone call. We'd like to buy your house. We're a business that works in the local area. And those are actual businesses trying to buy up houses in the area so they can rent them out for absolutely atrocious prices. So,
I'm sure some of that is real, but most of it isn't.
Yeah, around here, that one actually is real. There are obvious verifiable companies buying up people's houses for higher than market value in a lot of cases.
Yeah, like one of those says, I'm reaching out today with a very nice deal at hand for your residence. I already attempted you quite a few times with no response. If you're debating selling, please give attributes and take a peek at your proposal. And then it has a weird link. You know, and some of them will actually come in and list my old house's address, and I'm like, sorry, I don't own the property anymore. Those usually go away.
Well, yeah. Well, I also get calls for, you know, houses that I don't own. Never owned. We're never anywhere near. Or houses that I rented a really long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, they must be getting some suckers with that, but it's like, you know, I just can't.
They wouldn't be running these scams if they didn't occasionally work.
Yeah. But it's like, come on, leave me alone. And then my son's car went in and out of the shop again, and now we're actually getting a part replaced under warranty. The AC blower. But I had to take it to two different dealers that were in the same chain, so it should all be warranty, but pisses me off. It's a 4-month-old car. It shouldn't happen. Anyway, I am getting the system update, so it was released today.
The Android system update?
Yep.
Let me check my phone.
It's only 1.4 megabytes on my Pixel 6 Pro.
That's
so it mustn't be a big one. Yeah.
I'll have to wait a few days for mine.
Yeah, the updates. They're almost always faster on those. They might still be trickling out. If I get impatient waiting for one, which hardly ever happens nowadays, but I have already at least once or twice with this one sideloaded the update. And it's usually one thing I notice is it's usually a little bit faster than it is if I do it via the OTA. Not exactly sure why, but but we'll see. And I have the one kind of weird problem I'll have occasionally with my, since my car supports Android Auto, it supports wireless Android Auto. Every once in a while, I'll jump in, get ready to go someplace, and the phone won't automatically connect to it. I'm not exactly sure why. So then when I get to where I'm going, if I restart phone, and then by the time I leave, it works fine. So it might just be because I don't restart my phone that often. I try not to. But we shall see. And I'm semi-tempted to order the Pixel Buds, the new version of them that are coming out. But I don't know if I want to pay that much for them. Because it would be nice to use with the earbuds and use the Home Assistant and stuff on that.
Pixel Buds.
Ooh.
I saw my crappy headphones that go behind my head.
They're older than Joel.
Probably. The foam is completely gone off the ear pieces. It's just straight plastic shit right onto my head, side of my head.
Why
would you do that to yourself?
Yeah.
Because I'm too lazy to buy a new pair.
I'm going to have...
Do you like that behind the neck style, or is it just the...
I do.
Over ear style that you like, or
I do. I like the behind the neck over the ear because, I find it doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't interfere with when I'm working out.
Yeah, I think the behind the neck over the ear are actually fairly uncommon anymore. You should be able to find new cushions for it though.
It doesn't bother me. They just get saturated with sweat when I work.
Yeah.
It bothers me thinking about you wearing that shit.
I need to order a new one that I use for, this. The one I'm on tonight is the one I always use for Zoom calls too. And one annoying thing, it can do Bluetooth or it can do the dongle, and it sounds better on the dongle. The Bluetooth, for some dumb reason, sounds like complete shit.
Ah, look at that. Yeah, look at that. I can get pretty much the exact same stuff that I'm wearing now for
like a dollar.
$14.99.
Yeah.
$1.50 on eBay.
For high end, right?
It's wired one?
$1.50 on eBay.
Wired
or wired.
Bluetooth.
Bluetooth, what's Bluetooth? I don't understand that shit. Yeah, you want Bluetooth, then it goes up to like $30, $40.
You can probably buy them in bulk for like 75 cents each from China if you're willing to wait.
Yeah, there we go. $6.97 right here.
Well, I bought a similar one to what you're talking about. You found it for $6.97. Except it didn't have the behind the neck band or the over the top headband like you see with those. It basically came with an ear clip, and I was using that to modify some Bluetooth headsets for my brother so that he could use them with his motorcycle because he really doesn't like in-ear.
Yeah, I don't like in-ear either.
I kind of prefer it myself.
I mean, you can get some, like, Bluetooth, over-ear, noise-canceling headsets. Maybe open back since you're going to be working out with them. And get some airflow there. But yeah. Seriously.
I you know, I'm fine with them. I love them, man. These
just because you're fine with them, that doesn't make it good.
These things have lasted me. They have worked for me for like a decade now. I've been happy with them. Wait.
Now, for Bluetooth ones, like for just listening to stuff on my phone.
I'll post the link for the $7 ones.
Right, yeah. Let's see. Well, Jaybird's got a whole bunch of new ones. Cause I reviewed a couple Jaybird branded headphones a while back. The one I didn't like was they had one that was basically over the ear with cushions and stuff, but it was like a band that goes over your head, like a tight one, not like the one I have on this Logitech set I'm using. And I hated that thing. Plus, whenever I wore it to the gym, if I was doing anything more vigorous than a walk, it would bounce off my head. It's like, nope. And these were advertised for working out with, and they were advertised as being moisture proof.
Now, I know I mentioned it before, but I've been building my own, or taking really like. Cheap $3,
$4.
Not broken, brand new. I mean, they're just $4 cheap Bluetooth devices, and like stripping everything off of them, including the casing. And now I have 3D printed my own casing, added my own buttons, soldered those to the board. Replaced the earphone connectors with MMCX, put a shirt clip on it, tripled the size of the battery, and I'm actually really enjoying the one that the finished product that I made for myself.
Nice.
And honestly, you know, a couple of cents worth of PLA, the $4 Bluetooth device. I think that the switches, and it has three of them, were less than like 10 cents each because I ordered like 120 of them.
Yeah.
And they're really cheap momentary switches and they work great. Here, can you hear the button push?
Nice and clicky.
Clicky, clicky.
Oh, yeah. And I really like it. And, you know, I 3D designed the casing so that there was the hole for the microphones, the holes for the switches, the holes for the lights. I had to add some spacing to prevent overheating, hole for the USB charger, and then I had to kind of glue it together in layers. So the buttons had to get glued down first after soldering on the wires, and then solder the wires to the board, and then set in the board and hook up the battery and then glue on the back and then glue on the shirt clip. But if you check the Discord, I'll post the picture in the Discord. You guys want to get on there? If I can find, yeah, there it is. Add, upload file, tell everybody else where the Discord is and get them all to join.
I haven't logged into it in a while. I should.
Yeah, I can see that nobody's on there right now because there's Dan, Ed, Gorkon, Link, and
I was
Alan.
On the Discord a little while ago.
Where were you?
I just added the image now. Oh, hold on. Let me enter.
There you go.
I just added it now.
Now, see, the one Bluetooth headset for Zoom calls, I already have several that I use with my phone or my iPad. Those ones I don't like for Zoom calls because they usually don't work well for Zoom calls. But the one I had and I unceremoniously broke because I think I either stepped on it or I don't know how I broke the frame on it, but was the Vantree AH6B. Bluetooth 5 headset. They're $69, and they're the over-the-ear style. And the thing I liked about them was I could remove the microphone boom if I needed to. And if the battery goes south, as in I need to charge it, it has a...
pass through.
Yeah, you can just plug it into the laptop. So something like that is kind of what I probably want to get soon. I have the one I have now is a Logitech like HB something. They're okay, but the thing I don't like about them is they don't have a very good range. Once I get much outside of my office, they're pretty useless. These Avantri ones, I was able to walk all around the apartment and even to the mailbox when I was on a Zoom call. So, I mean, yeah, and the mailbox was not far from that, from the house, from the apartment, but
you know, I like this those. Bluetooth device I made, I like it. Right. It sounds really good, but it's still, you know, at its base, a $4 Bluetooth device.
Right, so yeah.
It's not like I expect a crap ton from it or anything.
Right. Well, and I'm not like a, like an audiophile when it comes to Bluetooth headphones. I, you know, like.
It sounds great, especially with the upgraded cables. Right. But calls, depending on like, because I've made several trying to get, you know, different designs and trying things out, and this is just the last one. But, like, two of the designs, and it's not the design, it's the board and quality control. Whenever I'm on a call, there's this just horrendous background hiss.
Yeah, I hate that. We might be getting a storm here soon.
But, like, audiobook listening, if it sounds great. Listening to music also sounds absolutely great. But that's a function of, you know, the wires and the drivers that I'm using. Which in most cases is the One More Triple drivers. And in some cases, it's the Samsung Level U drivers. So I might try something similar if I'll look through my collection of extremely broken devices and see what other Bluetooth devices I have and try and design something around one of them and see how well it comes out. Something a little bit higher quality.
Dun, dun, dun.
But I've already got another set of like five or six headsets that I was able to pick up for $3.25 each instead of $4 each. So I'm going to see how those work. Even cheaper.
I kind of want to go hunting for a... for another LG set.
Oh, the neck band?
Yeah.
Do you want the actual neck band, or do you want, like, the old true wireless ones that you had sent me?
I'm more in the neck band.
Yeah, the neck band is awesome for battery life and convenience. I don't know why people moved away from them. I've been keeping an eye on the secondary market on, like, eBay. And you can get some broken ones really cheap, but the ones that are working, yeah, a little bit more. Okay, a lot of bit more, but you can find them. Not in bulk like I want them.
Generally, you can still get them new, too.
Yeah.
And they're not, like, AirPod expensive. But that's why everyone went to the other ones, is because of the AirPods.
Yeah, well, boo.
And my only pet peeve about that style is every once in a while, and it depends, sometimes And I guess it depends on if you have both in your ear at the same time. But sometimes one will be charged less than the other. Or that, yes, either way.
Right.
And that's one thing I absolutely hate about it. I'm like...
I hate some of the ones that only allow you to use one of them independently. Like
And not either one?
Well, no, because like some of them are made so that, yeah, you can turn off the left side and just use the right side. Right, but you cannot just use the left side. And, you know, half the point of being able to just use the right side is to save the battery on the other one. So that way you can charge and listen and charge and listen. But with, like, the, I believe it's the Jabra Elite 65T.
Yeah.
You can only use the right side independently.
I have to look and see if that's the Jabras I have. I do have one set of Jabras. But that's kind of what the other thing I'm kind of struggle with is I'd love a set that could do both listening and phone calls about equal. Every once in a while, no matter which one I've had so far, either that LG set I sent you, the Skull Candies I have, or the Jabras I have, if I'm talking on it, sometimes people can't hear me.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know why.
With the LGs that you sent me, those are great. They sound good. They look good.
They do.
That nice small style that everybody seems to like. The problem is that they're so small and like easier to lose one of them. No, well,
that too.
Yeah. They're all hard to work on. But you lose one of them and then where are you at?
Right, yeah, you can't, it's not like you can go buy a replacement.
You can't mix and match on that.
Right. I do have a pair of AirPods. They're okay. My biggest criticism of them is they'll fall out of my ears.
My biggest criticism of the AirPods is that they have more functionality when you use them with Apple products.
Yeah, well, that too, yeah. But... I only use them with my iPad, so I'm only using it with an Apple product. But, and that's kind of also really a trend towards more of the ones that aren't branded the same as my phone because of that. The new Pixel Buds that are coming out are kind of the same, as they'll have things that you can do on those that you can't do on the other headphones.
Which is annoying.
Yep. I'm like, just make a freaking standard so I can tap any button on my headphones and engage Google Assistant.
We're going to throw in these stupid gimmicks and then lock them down to our device, so that way you'll stick to our ecosystem more. No, thank you.
Joe, you sound like an Apple hater, man. What's up with that?
I am an Apple hater.
Do you expect
me to deny it?
You can use Apple products without getting sold into the walled garden.
You sure can, as long as you don't like the full functionality of your device.
Well, it depends, you know.
Well, depends on what. Come
well, on. For example...
You want to pay double the price, come on.
Well, you don't have to use Apple's Notepad, and I know that a lot of times your notes will get sucked into that. You can't get them out if you move to another phone, all right? With Apple, they just come along for the ride and a backup, but and other things like that. You don't have to buy Apple TV.
You don't have to. It just makes your life easier if all the rest of your products are already Apple.
And you don't have to use... I have an iCloud account for backing up my work phone and my iPad, but I don't ever put pictures in it. I put my pictures in Google Photos. Now, granted, I'll tell you this... They don't make it easy to delete all your photos. Like, if you already have a local copy, you want to put them into some other source, you have to literally delete each photo one by one. You can't just say, select all the photos and delete them all from this account, because I don't want them there no more, you know? So Google's just as guilty of this walled garden bullshit as anybody else is.
No. I agree with you.
So...
I mean, with like the Pixel devices, it's very similar that some of the functionality doesn't transfer.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't do it well, or you get updates sooner, or crap like that.
Right. Or you get, like, for example, you have a Pixel device, you can have the Home Assistant answer phone calls for you, where, you know, on a Samsung device, you're not going to be able to.
Right.
So,
well, even though you can load it. Can't you solve that problem by just turning off your payment? that'll get rid of that fast.
Not really. No, that's a function you don't pay for. That what? Just comes with a device.
What, the storage?
No, with iPhotos, yeah, or Google Photos, yeah, but yeah, that's why I said to him, I said, well, you could just delete the account, but odds are you probably want to use it for the Gmail and the other stuff and see, and right. see, and you know, so it's like if you delete the account, it deletes everything.
Yeah, yeah, not. But- You know. To answer your question, Pat, yes, I am an Apple hater.
Yeah, I'm not a hater, but like the one thing that annoys the ever living crap out of me is the fact that now you have when you buy an Apple device, you have to buy it for the future. So you might need, like, if you buy that new MacBook M1 MacBook, you might need 16 gig of RAM now, but like in a year you might need 32. So yeah, you can't upgrade it, or you buy the 256 gig model and then you start to run out of drive space.
That's the same thing that you get with like the Dell XPSs.
Yes.
I mean, you cannot upgrade the RAM on that. You can't upgrade the hard drive. Yeah.
It's disturbing that everyone seems to be going to that model.
Well,
and annoying.
Some of that is a function of everybody wanting smaller and smaller devices. Because you see that problem on the XPS 13, but I don't think you see that problem on the XPS 15.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just... you have to crack open the whole laptop to replace the fucking battery. You know.
Yeah, that is stupid, and that is another recent thing. But once again, that's a function of size, because they want to be able to spread that battery out into different sections.
And then I hear everyone will say on a new device, be it a laptop, tablet, or phone, oh, the bezels are so slim. Where are you going to put your freaking fingers to hold the screen?
It's a touch screen.
Yeah, the bezels are there for a reason. Anyway.
Hold your camera.
Yeah, that's my bezel rant, because I hate it when people want to get rid of bezels, and I'm like, don't. I like bezels. They give me places I can hold the screen and not put my fat, greasy finger on it.
So we got a bunch of new shows coming up.
We do.
Yeah, Resident Alien's coming back next week.
Mm-hmm.
We got announced an Alien series.
I did see that.
Yeah. They also got
She-Hulk.
Later this month.
Yep.
Andor,
I don't know what to think about that. I haven't seen the trailer, but it's like, I don't know what to think.
The trailer didn't tell me much. That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
You got Game of Thrones prequel?
Meh. I never watched Game of Thrones, not even once. Of course, I didn't pay for HBO. More sex. I've heard lots of sex. Yeah.
Oh, you also got the Predator prequel movie.
Mm-hmm.
The Predator what?
Prequel.
Oh. Prey. I did not know that.
Oh, and C, which is on Apple TV. That's supposed to be having its last season coming up soon.
I like that one. That was pretty good.
I've enjoyed seeing.
I mean, once you get past the suspension of disbelief that these blind people can, like, you know, have battles with the hundreds of people all around them, how do you not kill your own people? I'm just saying. But besides that, it's a good show.
Yeah.
When's the Lord of the Rings? Is that...
It's fall.
It's the fall.
No, it's August. It's the end of August.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'll check that out. I'm a fan.
I'm going to be there. Absolutely. You know what? I did see the Andor trailer, and I got a little excited because I'm like, ooh, it's a whole bunch of people I know nothing about. It's going to be something different this time, finally.
Just as long as Admiral Cockblock is not there, we're good.
Admiral Pink with, Hair.
With the purple hair, whatever.
Yeah, you know who the actress who played her, right?
Yeah, that's what's her name.
Laura Dern, who was in Jurassic Park when she was much younger. And didn't have pink hair.
Yeah, she wasn't a cock block.
Well, this takes place before Rogue One, right?
Yeah, it's one of the characters from Rogue One. It's a pretty.
It's supposed to be the beginning of the rebellion, right?
Yes.
Okay. That might be interesting, but I said might.
Oh, you'll be there, Joel. You're gonna watch it. You know it.
I might, but
you're gonna.
That's like
I still haven't watched Obi-Wan yet. I need to catch up on that.
Come on! You got to get your old.
That's like on Paramount Plus. I tried to get into the Lower Decks, and I just can't.
Are they supposed to be doing a Lower Decks on DS9?
No, they're going to do a crossover with Strange New Worlds. I don't know how you do that, because Lower Decks is set, just post-TNG?
Time travel, how the hell else?
Yeah. Anyway. That's actually the only thing that's kind of annoying about Star Trek is the fucking time travel bullshit that they seem to be pulling off more frequently.
No, it's not just the time travel bullshit. It's the time travel bullshit along with the different timelines from the different times.
Yeah, like JJ Verse and all that bullshit, yeah. Which I heard they're supposed to be making Star Trek 4 in the Abrams verse.
You want a time travel headache? Go watch Dark.
I did. Amazon Prime Video has the 2009 version of V.
V for Vendetta?
All one season?
No.
All those seasons. Okay.
Yeah, it's the one. V is. A remake of the VTV miniseries.
Right.
Slash series.
With the aliens.
The lizard aliens.
Right, the lizard aliens, yeah.
Yeah. And I binge watched that over the weekend, both seasons, and I'm like, I paid like $15 a season, but I should have not done that because I remember how disappointed I was that they didn't renew it and they left season two off in a cliffhanger. Like, seems to happen so often with sci-fi. So you don't know where the story's going. It is still... It's one of those ones that... I think what killed it was it came out before all this original shit started hitting things like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Apple TV and all that stuff. If it came out 5 years later... It probably would have gone a home run and not being canceled after two seasons.
I think it was on ABC.
It was, yeah.
Like Firefly?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Firefly had the exact same problem. It was about the same time, too. So
I love Firefly, man.
Never could get into it, but, you know. I love it. Never could get into it, but I'm glad you like it.
I rewatch it every now and again the whole way through.
I
watch it about once a year.
Yeah, we watch, about that. Yeah.
The 80s miniseries V is also good. So, and I think it stands up pretty well.
You got Mark Singer, the Beastmaster. How can you go wrong?
Yeah, Mark Singer and Jane Badler.
Robert Englund? I mean, come on.
That's right. Yep. I like the design of things a little bit better there. The remake had, it was a little bit like businessmen from space come and invade, but the underlying lizard is more creepy. And it's buddier, too. Like, the last episode, Elizabeth Mitchell's character, her son mated with Lisa, the second Lisa that she made, and then she ate his head off. Like a praying mantis. But if you haven't seen it before, though, it's a worthy watch, I think.
Wait, what? What are you talking about?
The V remake.
Oh, I didn't see the remake.
Oh, you should. It's
yeah. When did that come out?
2009, 2010.
Huh.
Yep. Yep. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things in there that remind me of the world today, Pat.
A mantis eating your head?
No. Go watch the politics of it.
Go watch They Live. You want a freaking today.
Yeah. I haven't watched Idiocracy yet either, but I need to.
That's the other one. That's 25 years from now.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's 10 o'clock. We got to roll this crap up. Some of us got to get up and work out tomorrow.
There you go.
Well, they're working out right now.
There you go. All right. All right, here we go. Here's everything. We'll see you again another week. Have a safe, happy. Keep cool. Don't overheat, Joe.
Too late.
There you go. All right, here it is, your promos. Solder away.
I am sure.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg poo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yay. I bought and subscribed to a new app this week, too. I should have talked about it on the show, but it may not be that interesting to some people. It's Radar Omega.
Well, save it for next week.
I can, because hopefully we'll get more rain and I can do it. It's essentially a weather radar app and slash subscription. The nice thing about it is you can also bring it up in a web browser, too, which is kind of nice. And it's way better than, like, any of the weather apps, radar images. So, kind of like Radar Scope, but better. I like it. I like it a lot. And it's cheap. The monthly subscription is pretty cheap.
Ay, ay, ay. I was thinking about giving Open Mandriva a try.
Shit, Mandriva's still around?
Open Mandriva. But,
oh, and we forgot to talk about Linux Mint, too. They had a release, too.
Yeah. But it says it recommends 125 gigabyte hard drive. Jeez, I gotta break down and buy a new hard drive for this machine.
It's really starting to screech.
Yeah, it's It's holding me back.
Replace it with an SSD.
I think it originally had an SSD in it, and that went tits up, and so this old drive's been in there. This drive that I have in there right now, I think, is only what is it? Let's see. My root partition is 22 gigs and 76. So I think it's only like a 100 gigabyte drive.
Wow, that's tiny.
Yeah, it is.
Even Linux is starting to use up more and more space.
Oh, yeah, and it's going to.
Like, I could probably get Mandriva in there really nice and slim, but if I want all the bells and whistles, you know, if I want
I was going to say, Joe, I assume you're going to talk about the latest Linux Mint on the Mintcast.
No.
Didn't they just have a release?
Yeah. What does that mean to me? Nothing.
Yeah, I don't really want to switch from Pop OS because I'm actually really digging it. It probably pissed Manfry off. We know how his hate for System 76.
No, I don't. Why? Why does he hate System 76?
They screwed up on him on, was it a laptop order, I think, one time?
Yeah, something to do with, like, some weird mess, like, some mistake or something happened with his credit card processing, and they called the police on him or whatever. It was, like, it was really weird.
They swatted him?
Basically, yeah. And I don't care what he thinks. If I ever get enough money to get a Filio mirror, I'm going to get one.
Yeah, crazy feedback.
Is it still happening? Let me type something. I don't hear it.
Yeah, I adjusted the mic so that the stem wasn't touching the sidewall as much.
Oh. I'm going to move mine. Can you hear that?
Oh, yeah, I can hear it.
That's me tapping on my desk. I got to settle down on the ham hands. Where's Jolie tonight?
Don't know.
Must have one of his meetings. Church meetings.
His coming to Jesus meetings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. All right. This is 9:65. Give him another minute or two. Well, I get things set up here. Whoa. Okay. Let's see.
Boo.
There he is. Good night tonight, Joe.
I'm tired. It's been our training week, which means 6 to 7 hours of Zoom calls. Yay.
We had a lot of trainings come down, but ours aren't Zoom calls for those trainings. You have to sit there through a video and answer a whole bunch of questions. score higher than 80%. All while doing your actual work at the same time.
So somebody comes in and does a training and then you gotta take a test on it?
No. You gotta, it's all, you know, a digital everything. Oh. So.
Yeah.
Oh, is it one of those, trainings where you have to, like, a company put it together and it's, yep. It's like a slide deck with some maybe videos and stuff like that in yep. there and an interactive thing and then you get a certificate afterwards that says you completed cybersecurity training.
And then you don't look at it again until next year when you're required to do it again.
Yep.
Yeah. This is different. We'll meet together first, chat about how things have been going, and then we break out into some breakout rooms, and we work together on implementing some of the stuff that's in our JIRA cards. So, like, one of my ideas is we got ready, and it's already on the widget, basically counting UI sessions and putting a count, like, for, like, the time span as well as averaging that together. So that's because that's part of the calculation for doing a license eval to figure out if the client needs to order more licenses or not. Or actually just increase the licenses because we have unlimited licensing for almost everyone in the cloud now so that you can scale, but it's not automatic and it probably won't ever be. So because our app, we would have to retune it every time we increase. So, but that's just one. Like another one we're working on now is basically we have a script that runs that basically creates a bunch of add user commands, and occasionally some of those will not work because the boxes we're doing this on are connected to our domain. And if a user at a college, I'd like to use my name, but let's use a simpler name. Say there's a Jay Smith that works for us. If a college has a Jay Smith, they can still use it. But when the add user command happens, it fails because of it's connected to our domain. So we have to manually go in and add them to Etsy password as well as create the home directory. So, and right now we're just going to make an alert. And if we detect somebody that's in the list of users, it's not an Etsy password, we'll create an alert so that we can get a ticket and have somebody do it. But today, I had to train a lot of people. We're doing, talking about our Unidata database layer, which is not fun. But I got other stuff that I talk about in the show, because I had to rebuild my Open Media Vault.
That sounds fun.
It is, because I had to, and the whole reason I had to do it is because of MB was, my apps were updated, but the server wasn't, so none of the apps would connect. So, I had my joys with Docker containers.
All right. Guess we should start the show. All right, give me a count around, Joel. This is 960. Wait, let me double check. It is 965, right? Yeah, okay. So, yep, 965. First show of August.
Yeah, oh, poor yeah. Long, it's going to be the fall.